I hope that can give you an idea of the things that are going on in Chad. We have been tremendously busy over the past year that we've been there. It's become quite a challenge to try to do all the things that we really want to do. So we really appreciate your prayers and hope that you'll continue to pray for us, and especially after we go back and begin in ministry again, that you would just pray for that God would sustain us. Our lives get pretty busy and sometimes a little hectic. We try to take time away sometimes. There's a place just south of us about 30 kilometers. There's a huge sugar plantation south of us. And there is a what used to be a hotel there. They still maintain a kind of a restaurant. But they have a swimming pool there for the some of the French people that have come and help run the sugar plant and everything. So we go down there for some R&R once in a while. But that's about the only place we can really get away to. So just pray for us for that. I hope that in seeing the video that it puts a burden on your heart for these people, an impoverished people, great needs. I'd like you to think of some of our workers. We employ 10 people because our concession is so big. We have guards that work for us. We have guards day and at night. Have other people that just do a couple gals that do housework for us. You know, pray for them right now. We're still trying to give them a little bit of funds every month, but not what they're used to when we're there. Some specific prayer requests for them. There's one of the young ladies that works for us. Her name is Marie Therese. We recently found out that she has quite a serious heart condition. And so pray for her that they can figure out what they need to do to help her. Another young man, well, not a young man anymore, but especially for there, but Simeon, one of our main workers, before we left, we had given him funds to help him rebuild part of his house, because they build their houses out of these mud bricks, and they use mud for their mortar, too. And then after several years of rain, the mortar starts getting weak and coming apart. And he wanted repairs. We gave him funds to repair it. And we just got word a week ago that before he started doing those repairs, his entire house fell in. So pray for them. Luckily, prayerfully, nobody was hurt in that. Sometimes that happens. And if it happens at night, people are inside, there are injuries. So pray for them. And then just some of those that we know in the refugee areas with health issues. We just really appreciate prayer for them. As we start this morning, I'd like to read from 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to begin in verse 7. Read through verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory." You know, in verse 8, that verse, being affectionately desirous of you, willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. You know, there are many people in Chad and in the Central African Republic that Carol and I cherish. And And they have very difficult lives. And when we come back here to America, sometimes it's very difficult for us. And in verse 20 it says, for ye are our glory and joy. When we are out there, it seems sometimes they look at us. They look at us and they think that we are their glory and joy because of the things that we can do for them. You know, the physical things that we can do to them or for them. People are constantly coming to us for help. That's one of the biggest struggles that we have is how do we help so many with so few resources? And when you think about it, that kind of help is good, but it's not a lasting help. It doesn't help them for their eternity. Do you recognize that these verses, they don't really express the normal attitude of Christians? I think a more normal attitude is like the old saying, I'm okay, you're okay. Or that expresses, you know, leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. Instead of desiring to reach out and do something for God, we tend to back off and fall into the background and remain kind of an unseen Christian. We have that tendency. We might go to church, we might even be very faithful in church going, but our worship and service is limited to that. Generally speaking, as far as our service to God, we can have very negative attitudes. But before we explore this a little further, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. Father, I thank you for your endless opportunities that you presented to Carol and I for sharing the gospel and Chad. And we pray, Lord, that you would just lift others up that they might see, Lord, that this is something you want us all to do. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ, I pray that this would be the day that they would become a child of God. In His name I pray. Amen. So I have a lot to say, and I'll try to say as much as I can in the time we have. But I've titled this message, Never Say Never. Never Say Never. For a couple of different reasons. Firstly, because saying never is something that I have been known to do in the past. And I think God heard me and said, oh yeah, we'll see about that. The other reason is that in reading through God's Word, it's easy to see the tenacious determination and dedication of individuals that God has used to accomplish His will. Individuals like Paul who wrote these words in 1 Thessalonians. But if you had asked Paul prior to the time told us in Acts 9, where Christ confronted him on the Damascus Road, if you had asked Paul before that, if he would ever accept this way, the Christian way, as is stated in Acts 9:2, most assuredly he would have said, never. So my message this morning has three parts, basically. It has our story, mine and Carol's story, and the story of how Carol and I came to serve as missionaries despite negativity. His story, Bible examples of people that God used for His glory despite their negativity. And your story. Can you give up your negativity? And then the rest of the story, if you'd return tonight, we'll talk about keeping your eyes on the prize. But to begin our story, mine and Carol's began in 2005. As you may know, Carol was born in Chad missionary parents, so her mission story began basically at birth. Carol and I, we were just a typical family. After we got married, we had four kids, trying to raise them the best way we knew how, just trying to be regular folks, eking out a living. And then in 2005, I had an opportunity to go to Jamaica on a short-term mission trip, a building project. We were down at a place in the middle of the island in Jamaica. You know, if you go to Jamaica and you travel all the way around the island and you'll see these resorts one after another. And that's not Jamaica. Jamaica is not until you get maybe 10 or 20 miles inland and then you see Jamaica and what Jamaica is really all about. You know, it's also a very impoverished area. And the things that I saw there reminded me of the things that Carol and her folks would talk about, you know, the poverty and the way of life in Africa. So I was there for a short time and went back to the States. And shortly after that, we had a phone call and we were offered the opportunity to go to the Central African Republic on a 2 or 3 month missions trip. Well, I was working full-time at a factory in Grand Rapids. I had a responsible job. I was very busy. And the time that they wanted to go was in the middle of this factory's busy season. So I talked to my boss, and I said, could I get a 2 month leave of absence in June and July? And he broke out laughing. And he said, you know, that is never going to happen. And he was pretty negative about it. And anyway, so I went and saw his boss and talked to him about it. And he said, you know, that's just never going to happen. You know, he said, you could use your vacation time, but, you know, I only had 3 weeks vacation at that time. So that wasn't going to work. And I just went back and I told Carol, you know, this is it's never going to happen. I'm never going to get the time off. Well, about a week later, my boss's boss came to me and he said, because Carol was born in Chad, and in the plant where I worked, there were a lot of Asian people, a lot of African people, you know, immigrants, and the company would give them extended leaves of absence to go to their home country to see their families. Because Carol was born in Chad, they put us in that same category. So I got a 2 month leave of absence, did not have to use any of my vacation time. So the Lord bless. God is able. But then we still needed money to go. And I told her, we are never going to be able to raise that much money. We not only have to raise money to go on that trip, we have to raise money to take care of our expenses while we're back here. Or, you know, for our things back at home. You know, how are we ever going to do that? So we started, we had some contacts through churches, mainly because of her parents, contacts through her parents, and started visiting churches. God supplied that need. Then we got there. We finally got there. We got there with one out of six suitcases. The last one came in the week we were leaving. We traveled in many places around the country at that time. Carol had a marvelous time. She was in her element. I was miserable. I couldn't understand anybody. She spoke the language. I hated the food. It wasn't just that I hated the food. You know, I got sick the week we arrived, and I was sick for almost the entire trip. So food just, you know, American food might not have appealed to me that much, but this really didn't appeal to me. So we had all these different issues, and I mean, I was miserable. And then we were in one place in Bombari in the middle of the country, and about 10 days after the fact, we found out that my father had passed away. So it was a rough trip. There was a lot of things that were just, they were just really rough. And we got on the plane finally, we're coming back to America. And Carol is crying. I'm sorry. Carol's crying because we're leaving. And I looked at her and I said, we are never going back to that place. So So in 2008, we were on our way back. But what caused that change of heart? What caused that? You know, that's God working through a lot of different ways. I think even when we were there in the CAR, traveling around, we saw many, many needs that we thought we could help with. But, you know, my heart was just refusing to even accept that. And few verses like, we'll go to Isaiah. Turn back to Isaiah. Excuse me. Isaiah chapter 1. In fact, I'll start in verse 5. Isaiah 1, verse 5. It says, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." Now, sadly, that's the story of, especially the Central African Republic, but in Chad somewhat too. And now, in Chad, because of all the war in the Central African Republic, there are thousands and thousands of Central African refugees that are scattered throughout Chad, many in southern Chad, where Carol and I try to minister. And they have not only just tremendous physical needs, but they have spiritual needs too. And the spiritual need is always the greatest. A lot of persecution, especially for the refugees from the Chadians. The Chadians don't really want them there, so they're persecuted. You know, they get very little help. They get little resources. And spiritually, it's very difficult to reach them. There are not many religious faiths or organizations that are trying to get there. There are no Baptist churches in most of the areas where the refugees are concentrated in southern Chad. So evangelism is very important. But God is able. He is constantly giving Carol and I ways to reach them, to help them. And we just covet your prayers for that. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Carol and I are affectionately desirous of helping those people. Let's talk about his story. History. I'll try to be quick. We won't go to the passage, but I just wanted to think about some different people in the Bible who had very negative attitudes. Think about Moses. Moses saw the burning bush. He goes to the burning bush, and God calls him and tells him, "I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out." And what does Moses do? He says, "Oh, yeah, that's a piece of cake. Let's get going." No. He said, "You know, can't you send somebody else?" And the Lord says, "No, I'm going to send you." You know, Moses finally realizes, okay, he's going to send me, but he says, "You know, I can't talk. I can't, you know, I'm not good at speech and, you know, speaking." You know, God finally, it says God was angry with him for his constant refusal and his negativity. And then he supplied Aaron as a mouthpiece for Moses. It's interesting because everywhere I go, you know, not because of my negative attitude, but everywhere I go in Chad, I have a mouthpiece with me, someone who can translate. There are over 150 languages in Chad. In Sar, just in Sar, in the area that we live, there are maybe 15 or 20 established Baptist churches, And just about every one of them is a different language set. Think about the difficulty they have with resources then. You know, there's only a couple languages that have a written word of God in their native tongues. It's very difficult for them. Also, think of the 12 spies. The 12 spies, you know, Moses sends them into the land that they're going to inherit, and he wants to know about what's going on. And so the 12 spies, they go and they explore out the country, and they come back, and Joshua and Caleb are saying, "Oh, this land, this is awesome. It's a great land. You know, we can just go in there and take this land." And then there's these other 10 guys. And they're saying, "Yeah, it's a great land. There's all this stuff there. You know, it'll be awesome. But, you know, there's these giants and these people and they're warriors. And there's no way we're going to take this land." Because of their negativity, what happened? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of that negativity. God eventually blessed the people of Israel. But they had to pay for their negativity. I tell people a lot of times that Carol is like my Joshua and Caleb. So one thing I have had is a negative attitude about a lot of things. Not her. She is like gung. She is like gung ho all the time. She thinks of something and she wants to jump right in. She doesn't think about it. She just wants to jump right in. I mean, I have to think about it. You know, I have to make sure that, okay, you know, that's a good thing to do, but how are we going to do this? So she is like my Joshua and Caleb. Through her encouragement, a lot of things have happened. Even the prison ministry that we started in the CAR was largely because of her encouragement to some pastors there and then who asked help of us. And unfortunately, we don't think that that's continuing because of opposition from Christians, from the church leadership there who don't want pastors going into the prisons because they're saying it's a waste of time. How are they going to stay faithful when they're in prison? You know, when we were there, myself and two other pastors, we baptized 12 of these prisoners in the river across the road from the jail. You know, we're wading out into this river, and the water was maybe this deep, but the mud was this deep. You know? It was comical because one of the pastors had a prosthetic leg. You know, he was a former soldier, and his leg was taken off just above the knee. So he's trying to get out of that muck. And there's these long canoes. We kind of use those to kind of hold ourselves up as we're walking out. So there's two soldiers in the canoe. And they're pulling on him, and he's trying to hang on to his leg to get up out of the mud. You know? But the church leadership, the church association there, was angry with us for baptizing those individuals. You know, that's sad. But then we do see these successes also, like at the church, Kongosara, where we put on a course, and the week that they began using the tools that we taught them, 9 teenagers came to Christ in one day. In the previous 5 years, they had not seen any of these teens come to Christ. I think of Paul's attitude. You know, Peter denied Christ, but look at the magnificent leader that Peter became. And then Paul also. In Acts 9, 1 and 2, go there. Acts chapter 9 when Christ confronts him. Well, this is before he confronted. This is Paul's attitude before he was converted. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." It's the same man that wrote those words in 1 Thessalonians. That they are our joy, that he cherisheth them. Negativity can stifle Christians. It can stifle our service to Christ. And if we're not serving and being encouraging to others, how is that affecting those that are around us? How is that affecting new Christians? What about your story? Flip over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and I want to read these verses 17 through 21 again. Acts 20, 17, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Paul, among many others, had their attitude of negativity completely turned around. Some had their attitude toward serving turned around. Others had their attitude about Christ himself completely changed. God is still changing attitudes today. I know he changed mine. What kind of attitude does God want us to have? Paul summed it up there in verses 20 and 21. He wants us to be giving of ourselves. But not just of ourselves. He wants us to share what Christ has done, what he has done for us personally, and what he can do for those that don't know him. You know, there are two ways to look at life and serving the Lord. One is, I will never go back there. I will never witness, or I will never teach Sunday school. I'll never go door to door, or help in the church, or tell my Christian friends. A lot of times we tend to have negative attitudes like that. The other way is, I will be willing to. It took a long time for me to become willing to. It was a process of about a year that God worked on my heart and showed me that there were things that we could do in Chad, in the Central African Republic. And God is able and has been able and has blessed us continually in our ministry and in our lives. How would you like your story to go? How has your story been, and what is your attitude on the negativity scale? And does your story end in heaven? 1 Timothy 1:16 says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Is your life going to end there? What's the end of your story? The Bible tells us that there are none righteous, no, not one. And we're all negative when we're born. Negative against God. You know, we're pro-sin, but we're negative against God. It's just human nature. God made a positive way for us. If we confess Christ with our own mouths and ask Him to save us, He is faithful and just to do so. There can be a positive ending to your story, to all of our stories. And that's my prayer for you this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your Son. I thank You for the responsibility of ministry that You have put upon Carol and myself. Lord, that over and over, even when we don't see a way possible, You always pave the way. And You are always there to help us, to sustain us, to encourage us. And Lord, I pray that for each individual here today. In His name I pray. Amen.